The story of the Nachash and Chava is, of course, one of the most well-known in the entire Torah, let alone Sefer or Parshas Bereishis. But it's not just well-known. It's fascinating, it's compelling, but it's also confounding. What exactly is going on? How literally do we take the descriptions of the snake? These are questions that have occupied the minds of the greatest Mefarshim over the centuries. What was the Nachash's motivation? And ultimately, what's the lesson that we're supposed to take from the story? I'd like to share one angle of this analysis based on two different interpretations of a fascinating Gemara. To set up that Gemara, let's review the postscript, the end of the story, after the Nachash has persuaded, or you might even say seduced Chava into eating from the Eitz Hadas, after she in turn gets Adam to eat from the Eitz Hadas, they're all confronted and they're all ultimately punished, with their punishments being delineated explicitly in the text. And when we get to Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yudalid, we are told of the punishment that the instigator of this all, that the snake, the Nachash, receives. V'yomer Hashem Elokim el Nachash, kisisa zos, because you have done this, Hashem tells the snake, arur ata mikol ha-behema u'mikol chayas ha-sadeh, you are cursed more than any other animal in the field, in the world. Al gachoncha teleich, you will now have to spend the rest of eternity slithering on your stomach. You'll always have nothing but dirt at your ready to eat. This is the famous curse and punishment of the snake. Fascinatingly, but really ambiguously and enigmatically, the Gemara Baba Kama tells us, Shedro shel Adam l'achar sheva shanim na'ase nachash. After a person dies and is buried, 7 years later, the remnants of his spine turn into a snake. However, then the Gemara adds a caveat. Hani mili de lo kara b'modim. That's only referring to a person who didn't bow when they said modim in the Shemon Esrei. But a person who bows, then their spine will not somehow turn into a snake. Now, the questions here are obvious. What exactly is the Gemara talking about? Is it even conceivable that this should be taken literally? And if it's not meant to be taken literally, what is the possible message that Chazal intend to convey with this very, very enigmatic teaching? So I'd like to share two interpretations of this Gemara, which basically both, respectively, go back to understanding what exactly was the sin of the snake. One, you could say, is more of a classical, if not ancient, interpretation. That's from one of the Rishonim, the Maharsha. The Maharsha, in his commentary to the Gemara, points out that when the Gemara is describing someone who didn't bow when they say the bracha of Modim, we have to understand and appreciate what the purpose of bowing is. Says the Maharsha, bowing is a form of hachna'a and hashpala. We are, so to speak, lowering ourselves. We're making ourselves more contrite, more humble in front of God, and that's why we physically take a bowed posture to convey our lowered sense of identity vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is contrasted with the behavior of the snake, who Chazal teach us, you know, used to walk on 2 feet and walked very, very upright with a koma zakufa, very, very arrogant as part of his whole plot. However, when the snake was punished, al gachoncha teleich, you have to slither on your stomach, the snake was being humbled. You walked fully erect, straight up, in arrogance, so Hashem tells the snake, forever and ever, you'll be completely horizontal, not vertical, and subjugated. Says the Maharsha, that is the lesson of our Gemara. A person who does not bow is the same as the snake. That is to say, someone who does not have hachna'a, someone who's never contrite, someone who's never humbles himself or herself before Hashem, someone who takes all the gifts that Hashem gives them and never bows when they're saying modim, they don't ever act with any hachna'a, with any hashpala, they never lower themselves, they're never willing to bow in the presence of God, then they're no better than the snake. And as a result, they will have to be punished like the snake, so to speak. Obviously, that doesn't mean literally, but permanently bent. They will have to be forcibly humbled since they didn't humble themselves. That's the Maharsha's interpretation of the Gemara, and a very, very powerful one, and one that we should certainly think about and make sure that we are doing the right things and appropriately humble and lowering ourselves. Much, much more recently, Rav Schwab, and I believe this is both in his Mayan Beis HaShoeva, his commentary to the Chumash on the Pasuk here in Perek Gimel, as well as in his beautiful and magisterial commentary on the Siddur, on the bracha of V'chol HaChayim, explains a slightly different interpretation, gives a different interpretation of this Gemara and this idea, and the different interpretation ultimately of what was the problem of the snake. Says Rav Schwab, originally the Nachash clearly had a very special status. He was on a level somewhere in between human and all the other animals. As the Psukim say explicitly, and the Marsha does take, and Rav Schwab seems to take this some pretty literally, that he was able to stand, he was able to talk, he had a koach hadibor. We see from the Psukim the way he was conniving and convincing of Chava, he obviously had intelligence, seichel, so we can't fully understand this 100%, and we still don't understand why he started up with Chava. Chazal themselves have different theories. It's nothing we could possibly understand ourselves. But says our Schwab, one thing is clear, that clearly the snake was using unique and special gifts that Hashem had given him, but rather than use those gifts to be thankful and recognize God and what he did for him, he's actually using those gifts as a form of rebelling against God and doing something that was clearly against the Ratzon Hashem. God did not want Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and the Nachash uses his gifts to convince her to go against God's will. Says Rav Schwab, the ultimate source, the kernel, the shoresh, the yisod of the sin of the snake was a lack of hakar satov, a lack of appreciation for the special kohos that he had. Because he was born with them, they were just immediate, he had them, he didn't actually bother to appreciate them or give thought to why Hashem had given him these gifts and not all the other animals in the field, in the garden. If he would have done that, he would have understood that and there must be some special place that he holds in Hashem's world as an Eved Hashem, and he would have used those gifts somehow to serve Hashem uniquely. But because he didn't bother to stop and think and appreciate what God gave him and why God might have done that, he ended up sinning. And that is the klal of v'afar tochal kol yimei chayecha. You'll eat dirt your whole life, something you'll never ever have appreciation for because you'll always have it at the ready. Because the Nachash will always have his food, his dust, the dirt everywhere, there's never a moment where he wouldn't have that, and he would need to have hakar satov for what Hashem gives him. When a person davens and says modim, he's also bowing as a thankful to Hashem. And if he doesn't have hakar satov, then he's no better than the snake and will be punished accordingly.